May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening by singing hymn number 191. 191. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Hymn 191.
Us this evening in reading from his most holy word, Job chapter 5, the book of Job, the fifth chapter. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor have hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it. So it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. May the Lord help us to reflect on that portion of his holy word and be with us as we come before him in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank thee that we can meet together, albeit, Lord, not in the chapel, with the work that is being undertaken, but here in the primary school in the village. And we do thank thee for the provision of these premises to the dear friends here. And we do pray, Lord, that this school hall will prove to be a place where the Lord blesses the dear friends here when they meet from time to time in the coming period. And indeed, when they have met in the past, that those favours will have been dispensed in this place. Lord, we need thy sweet presence. whether we worship in the chapel or whether we worship here in the school. We need thy presence, each of us in our own lives, whether we pray to thee in a place of worship or in our homes, Lord. And so we do pray this night that thou wilt come and make one in our midst. Lord, we have nothing to offer thee. We cannot burn some sacrifice, although we know, according to scriptures, it is the time of the evening sacrifice. But we do not go through that act of burning anything before thee. We simply come before thee pleading that in this our askings meet, the hymn writer says. We ask thy presence, dearest Lord. And Lord, we would beg it, because when we have thy presence with us, then truly we can worship thee. When we do not, Lord, then we merely go through the act of worship. And sad to say, it is an act. But Lord, when we know something of the sweetness of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit drawing near and being with us. So Lord, this evening, it is our prayer that we may be favoured. There may be a portion for seven and also for eight. The words that he will speak unto us will be words, Lord, that will be suitable to our case. Whether they be words of correction, whether they be words, Lord, of turning us around, or whether they be words of comfort, words of consolation. Lord, we pray this, we might come with the exercise of that word, which we fear wasn't an exercise in that king's case as he came to Jeremiah, but he said this. But may it be an exercise with us. Is there any word from the Lord? Oh, Lord, to come up to thy courts with that. And the beautiful words that Jeremiah spoke afterwards, there is. There is. Oh, may it be so this night, Lord, we do pray. But oh, solemnly, there was a solemn message, the words that Jeremiah had to speak to the king, and he had to say that his throne would be and the nation would be destroyed. And so it is, Lord, that whatever thou wilt speak, Lord, that we might say with one of old, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Open our ears, Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. Lord, enable us to accept the word from thee. But oh Lord, thou knowest where thy dear people are here. And Lord, if there is that balm that is needed, that balm that alone can come from thee, do apply it, Lord, to sin-sick souls. Do apply it to those that need it. Oh, we pray for those that need the tender touch of the dear Saviour. We pray for those, Lord, that need to have that encouragement to pray. We pray for those that need to be encouraged in the pathway to go on. We pray for those that are troubled and burdened, and those that are empty, those that, Lord, feel they've got no religion. Lord, what a place to come to. I'm going to the courts of God, but there's nothing in me. Those that suffer the taunts of the enemy, where's your religion? Where's your faith? Ah, Lord, thou knowest, because the enemy is a great enemy to the Lord's people. He picks on them. Lord, he's a bully to the people of God. And sometimes he uses other men and other people, other children, to bully those that are the Lord's. Oh Lord, we pray for this, that thou wilt be a wall of fire round about us, and God the glory in the midst. That Lord, we read this morning that the kingdom of heaven is within us. Oh, may it be established within us each here tonight, even the children, Lord, that there will be that desire towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We do beg, Lord, give us that real religion that will stand the test of time. And the test, Lord, really, we say of time, but the test is the test that we come to stand before Thee, Lord, in that solemn seat of judgment. Oh, Lord, that when Jordan's icy waves, yes, we enter in, that they will divide and land our soul safe with God. Oh, Lord, we pray then to be rightly burdened and exercised. We do pray for the children. Some, Lord, cannot get out of the late evening hour, and we pray for them. And we pray for those parents that are at home. We pray for those, Lord, that are here, the young ones, are the teenagers, different ages, different needs, some taught at home, some taught at school. We pray for wisdom and help to parents that do teach at home. And Lord, that those right connections with others that learn in that way. We pray for those at school, that they may be given that daily help. Lord, help them to pray as they go to school in the morning, that they will be helped through the day, and help them to prove those answers to their prayers. Lord, give that measure of success. But Lord, may it be seen to be in Thy hand and a gift from Thee. O Lord, we pray for the dear young friends. And we plead, Lord, that Thou wilt be mindful of those perhaps in the teenage years that start to rest in their minds with those thoughts and feelings of those round about them. And there is so much pressure in this modern world over these, from these minority groups, over those things, Lord, that are not consistent with Thy word. And so we pray for grace for them to stand and to be able to say that they desire to follow the word of God. Lord, help them in these things, we do pray. And should they become a little muddled in their own minds, help them to lay it before Thee and to see the clarity with which Thou wilt speak to them in these matters in time. Lord, do be with the young people, we pray. Those looking to the future, we pray for Thy provision. We pray Thou would open doors. Perhaps one knowing not what to do. Lord, do I come? Do I go? What do I do? Oh, that they might hear that voice behind them saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right or to the left. Oh, Lord, as the words come into our mind, may there be that clear word from the Lord. Go, and the Lord be with thee. Lord, we pray for the application of these things to those that need them. And Lord, Thou knowest if there are those that have those particular needs. Lord, we do pray that the poor, weak believers and the weak souls will be strengthened in faith, that it might be like this: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. O Lord, be their strength and their stay, we do plead. And in that we pray for the elderly friends and the older friends. And we do pray, Lord, for one now in the Bethesda home, Lord. And we do pray for Rachel Ayres, and plead that Thou wilt be with her where she is, and Lord, bless her abundantly. And oh, we pray that Thou wilt draw near and be with her. Lord, we dare beg and plead that Thou wilt remember the deacons here, bless them and help them, give them strength, guidance, leading. Lord, we pray that thou would help them in the choice of the hymns. We pray that thou would be with them in their exercises and burdens for this house of prayer and this people. And Lord, it is our desire that thou wouldest truly go before them and show them thy way. Lord, do graciously guide their steps in all things, we do plead. And Lord, we pray for the church. We pray thou wilt bless them abundantly. We pray thou wilt add unto them. We pray that, Lord, there will be much exercise for that. And we plead that prayers will be answered. Lord, and yet there is room. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with us as we meet, God willing, around thy table for that solemn sacred service of remembrance, Lord, of our dear Saviour. Oh, Lord, we pray we might say our Saviour. We might feel he was our Saviour and he is our Saviour. Lord, do then be with us then. And those that look on and witness it, and each one of the congregation, Lord, oh, be with them and remember them. And Lord, as we understand it, the loving care and support of a number of different friends with the various movements of items and arrangements to set up worship here in the school, and also those various aspects of support of the work going on at the chapel. Lord, bless them for that which they do for thy courts. We do pray and reward them in their souls. Lord, we do pray then for this people, for those that meet with them tonight, and those that have those positions of responsibility at other churches. We pray for them. And we pray, Lord, for the surrounding chapels. And we give thanks that there are those that this night will be welcomed into the church at Oakington. Lord, we thank thee that thy work is still going on in the midst of the years, and we pray that it will continue amongst the churches. And we pray, Lord, that we will seek continually that it will be seen in this way. The mercy is, Lord, these are outward signs, but we believe there are many inward signs too, and we give thanks to thee for those, that thou art still continuing the work of the gospel in this our day. And Lord, we do pray for all of thy servants that have gone forth this day, those whose work is finished, well, Lord, finished for today, but may the word still remain. And may it be blessed, and may it be a gospel day in Zion. Those that stand upon Zion's walls, even this night, we pray, Lord, thou wilt help them and equip them, use them and bless them. Oh, Lord, what feeble instruments we are. Oh, Lord, how we feel our weakness, our emptiness, our poverty, our uselessness. But thou art God. And the mercy is, thou dost use those feeble creatures. Thou dost use the empty soul. Thou dost use the poor preacher. Because, Lord, the work is thine. And man will not be exalted, but God alone. And, Lord, thou truly art, we believe, where our thoughts and feelings are right. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt then remember each one. And, Lord, perhaps there's something in the week ahead. And there are those that say this, I cannot face it. This mountain, this heavy thing that sits upon them, it's a weight, and it looms, and it looms, and they don't know how to go on, seeing this thing before them. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before the heavenly Zerubbabel, yes, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Oh, that they might walk over it. Oh, that they might see that which they fear removed. Oh, that they might see that the right hand of the Lord will hold them and carry them through that which they so dread. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Blessings, we believe it says, the plural. Oh, how beautiful. Lord, grant that it may be so for such a poor, troubled soul tonight. And thou knowest where they are sitting, or those listening in. Thou knowest, Lord, do take away the burden of that which lies before. And, oh, Lord, we do pray, if there are any poor sinners tonight that are really burdened on account of sin. Yes, with my burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. They feel it. They feel their utter uncleanliness before a holy, sovereign God. Lord, it's a good place to be. It's an uncomfortable place to be. But, oh, do, Lord, convict us. Reconvict us. Continue to that work of conviction. We need it, Lord. Oh, believe, Lord, we need conviction on a dying bed. But this, that we might come to the Lord Jesus and see that the wounds that he suffered in the house of his friends, those wounds for those evil deeds, for those terrible practices, for those awful sins, those wounds that he suffered on their behalf. Lord, soften us. Lord, show us all this was done for thee. Lord, we plead for it, and we pray that we might know something of these things. Well, Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst remember this land. Our rulers, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that yet they might turn to the word of God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn us as a nation. And Lord, we pray that we may not be so obsessed with the environment in an obsessive way. We may not be obsessed with green issues in an over-the-top way. Lord, we acknowledge these things, but oh, how man has become completely obsessive, but obsessed by these things. And Lord, that we may ever keep our eyes fixed upon thee. Lord, we pray that it may be so as individuals, but oh, we can only plead that our leaders might yet look to thee. And Lord, we pray for the king, and we pray for them in these difficult times, and when there's much against them too. And then, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with those war-torn parts of the world. And Lord, remember those that are suffering in the Gaza Strip, both, Lord, in Israel, Lord, and those Palestinians. But Lord, may the terrorism and the terrorists be overcome, we do pray. And Lord, we plead that thou wilt be with Ukraine and remember them, and also the people in Russia that are devoid of any real knowledge of what is going on. Lord, how solemn is propaganda in our day and has been throughout history. But oh Lord, do hear our prayers in this, we pray. And also, Lord, that thy word may be expanded, Lord, in those countries of the world where it is banned and where, Lord, religion is sent underground. But may, Lord, it still grow. May, Lord, there be the work of grace going on. Lord, we do plead now that thou would help us as we come to thy word. What wait I for, says one, and my hope is in thee. Lord, is nowhere else. Do open up the word. May we feel the Lord is with us tonight. And Lord, may we truly feel thy sweet presence. And Lord, that we can each say at the end of this service, and the end of the day, that it has been a good day. A good day in the courts of God. Well, forgive our poor prayers. Give us a heart of thankfulness and praise towards thee, O Lord, for all thy mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We plead all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 4. Hymn 4. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Hymn number 4.
Once again, in complete dependence upon the Lord, both for hearing and speaking. Friends, I would direct your prayerful attention to Job 5, the chapter we read, fifth chapter in Job, and verse 19. Job 5, verse 19. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. This chapter records a speech given by one of the three friends, so-called, of Job. This one is Eliphaz. He gave three speeches, and you will find that the others also spake to him. We have Bildad the Shuhite, who also gave three speeches, and Zophar the Naphtalite, and he gave two speeches. None of them really helped Job, friends. And yet there are words in this chapter of Job that are truths. And, you know, friends, these men, I believe, really, they blamed Job for that which came upon him. Now, of course, friends, we will suffer for our sins. And if we're going to heaven, we will suffer for them here below. But I believe that, in a sense, they felt that Job was not walking uprightly, and he must have done something in particular wrong before God to suffer in the way that he did. Well, let us just consider some of the things in this chapter that make perfect sense. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And it's as true of all men. All mankind is born unto trouble. And those of you that have seen sparks, and we all have, they go upwards before they come down. And so we will know trouble. We will know trouble. We don't want to know trouble, naturally, but we will know it. But the difference with the Lord's people is that the trouble to them, rightly taught, is sanctified trouble. What does the word sanctify mean? It means to set apart. They are set apart with the trouble to have it shown to them that these troubles are for the good of their never dying souls. Those that have trouble in the world, and we know them, our neighbours and friends, our fellows at work perhaps, or those that we've had to do with, those we know in retirement, whatever it is, they have their troubles. Some of them have terribly troubled pathways, but it's not sanctified. It doesn't bring them to the Lord. It doesn't bring them to desire that closer walk with God, which I believe the sanctified troubles for the child of God, who is set apart, therefore sanctified, does. Oh, my friends. So Eliphaz, his words here, that man is born to trouble. Yes. And he does say that God should be sought in a time of affliction. And that man will know God's correction. All of this was very true. But you see, Job had to come to say for those that came with their messages, miserable comforters are ye all. And this poor man, Job. You know, I think, friends, as we go on, we will know what it is to be assailed by the enemy. You know, friends, we were much favoured in our time in Australia to see the beauties of creation and to have some time of holiday. But I found this. Virtually before every service I preached, in some way or another, the enemy jumped on me in a particular way. And you know, at the end of the first day there, when we landed in the morning and we went through the day as long as we could, given the jet lag, but at the end of that day we went to bed and I woke up after 2 hours and I woke up with the voice of the enemy, go back into your own land, you are wasting your time here. And friends, I feel this here with Job, that the Lord said, go. See, Job, he is upright. He eschews evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth God fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge around him? But the Lord said, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, friends, I don't believe we will have the depth of the pathway that Job had. But unless you know the taunts of the enemy, friends, you won't get to heaven. I have to say, we must know those feelings and thoughts of the enemy. I want to explain to the young friends what I mean. And that is, as like a voice in your head. It was like the voice, I was very tired. I just had 2 hours sleep. I woke up. I could explain it away. But there was all these negative thoughts in my mind. Oh, that I was back at home. Oh, that I was back amongst my own people. All these things. And yet, we've been wonderfully delivered in that journey there. You see, it's those thoughts and insinuations come into our mind, wrong thoughts, and it's the enemy. I just want to explain that simply to those who think, well, do you hear Satan actually speak to you? Friends, it's those thoughts. Management of the thoughts in your mind sometimes, and you realize you have a great enemy with those thoughts and feelings, and you know your own heart and your own mind is not any better, because how negative we can be about these things as well. And so it was, friends. But I tell you this, with the mercy of God, when I went back to sleep and then I woke up 2 hours later, it was like this. How comfortable was my bed, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Friends, we wept with those feelings of the dear Lord Jesus. Ah, you see, the difference. The Lord is near. The Lord has come and softened our hearts. And yet, you see, you will know the taunts. And if there's a poor soul here tonight and you feel it, you feel those thoughts, your thoughts are all over the place apart from where they should be. My dear friend, pray on, seek on, that yet you will be able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he's a great enemy. And you help him, you aid him, you abet him, you're on his side in nature. Friends, you may not like these words, but it's simply true. But you see this then, there is that correction. We read in verse 17, whom God correcteth, happy is that man, despise not the chastening. And he allows, you see, as he allowed here with, and it's all in the permissive will of God. His sovereignty, we've just sung of it. Friends, I felt it was an encouraging hymn to me as we come to our text. But you see, he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. So, friends, what about your six troubles? What does it mean by six troubles? I wonder if you were to list down what troubles are on your heart, on your breast tonight, how many there might be. We are troubled, aren't we? We're troubled about many things. We are Martha-like in that. We're careful in organising, but we're troubled about many things. And we have trouble, it feels sometimes, left, right and centre. And sometimes these troubles seem to come in. And we have one and then another comes in and we feel the weight of them one by one. Six. Why does it say six? And why does it say seven? You will find, friends, in the Hebrew that there is a number that is given and then they make a statement with the next number that's higher. In Amos, you will read where it speaks of, I think it's the judgment of God, and he speaks like this. For three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And what it means when it uses these numbers is that there is like a set number, but it's a flexible number in that way, but it just sets forth any number really, and then there's a number greater. In other words, what it's really saying is there's numberless amount of troubles you will be delivered in. But there's another thought in this direction. And I thought of it like this. The number six, in a way, sets forth man. And how does it? Because on the sixth day in creation, man was put upon the earth. The seventh day was the day of perfection. It was the day when God saw that it was very good and creation was finished and he rested on the seventh day. Seven, as you know, in Scripture means a perfect number. And so, those six troubles, man born unto trouble, his troubles, yes, we could say self-procured troubles sometimes, but the six troubles, and then the seventh, the perfect number of troubles, whatever the number is, these troubles shall not touch thee or not touch thy soul. They may touch your bank account, they may touch your feelings, they may touch your thoughts. They may touch your family. They may touch those things that surround you. But they cannot destroy your soul, friend. Now, in touching those things, there will still be blessing in them because you will accept, like dear Job, the Lord gave, the Lord have taken away. Perhaps it is something financially, but blessed be the name of the Lord to see his hand in what has gone before. In six troubles. He shall. One of the shalls and wills of Jehovah written in the book of Job. Isn't it remarkable? He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Poor troubled soul tonight. How many have you got? You haven't enumerated them. There's too many. Or perhaps there's one that weighs you down, that's so big, a trouble. It might be your soul, friends. At some stage, again, if we're going to heaven, our soul will definitely be a trouble to us. It must be. Our sins may be a trouble tonight. The fact that the Lord hasn't spoken to us for some months, years, days, will be a trouble to us. The silence of God. Trouble. Friends, oh, these places we get into, man is born unto trouble. Truly we can acknowledge it, can we not? Dear refuge, can we come there? Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble, That's your six and your sevens. My fainting hope relies. Yes, there's nowhere else, friends. And oh, you see, thy mercy seat is open still. Here let my soul retreat. With humble hope attend thy will and wait beneath thy feet. Trouble. We don't like it, friends, do we? But what teaching there is in it. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. And one more still, as in the Hebrew, will not have an effect upon thee. You know, it's a very powerful way of writing. And you think of the scriptures being placed in that way, that the message is so powerful. Six, no, not six, even seven, the perfect number. An innumerable number of troubles, all in the perfect will and sovereignty of God. You know, friends, as I sat and pondered this word and thought about Job and his pathway, and you know, we know the end. We know the end. We know that he was blessed with double everything that he had before, except exactly the same number of children. But his cattle were double, and the oxen were double, and the number of years he lived was double, the 70 years before and 140 afterwards. All these things are recorded in Scripture. But, you see, this dear man, he had to prove this. And I saw it in a group of words, friends, and I hope you don't mind me naming this, but they begin with the word P, and it occurred to me in this way, that his friends, the three that came to him with their messages, they looked at something that was penal. They felt there was a penalty to Job for the fact that he had sinned. That's all they could look at. The sin that Job had not been a right man, as we named before. So they saw that penal, as it were, aspect of it upon Job. And it was as simple as that. And then there was Job, and we read his own thoughts, that he was puzzled. Puzzled. And I thought, what a beautiful word that is for the children of God. And we may have one here tonight or listening in that truly feels puzzled. Puzzled by the pathway. Puzzled by the mysteries in that pathway. Puzzled by the fact that they cannot see God in it. Puzzled by their soul's experience at the moment, because they feel to be so far off from God. Puzzled by the assaults of the enemy that we've already referred to, and his actions in that way. But there is that puzzles them. They're confused. They're unsure. And Job was, in the early part of these chapters of this book, there's no doubt there was puzzlement in Job's mind. And there certainly was in his wife's. Curse God and die, she said. No, my friends, he could not do that. In underpinning it all, there was that belief in God. I believe this, friends, I believe this, that lovely hymn 422, 'tis all for the best. I believe Job, in his right mind, could have got there, you know, friends. And yet, there was that puzzlement. So penalty for and puzzlement. Yes. And then, you see, you can look at the other young man that spake later with much wisdom, Elihu. So after those three men had spoken and given their addresses, we read Elihu and how he spoke and exalted the Almighty and the power of God. But how he spake, really, therefore, he spake of of God in his power and his might and his majesty. And if I can confine that, there were many chapters. But he did say to Job that there is none that thou thinkest thou to be right. My righteousness is more than God's. So he spoke those words really to Job, and that he ought not to think that he is mightier than God. For God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. But you see, for him, then really, he sets forth that P word, which in a way is power, really. And I think that's the power to deliver. And also, though, I believe there is that that P of pity towards Job. But that's Elihu. But what in it all is the message from God? This is the P, friends. And it may be it's the very one you and I need tonight. It's providence, God's providence. And we sang of the sovereignty of God, and it's summed up, really, his providence that unfolds the book. You see, it's God's providence that Job should suffer these things, that these troubles should come upon him, and so it is for you and for me in those many. His providence unfolds a book and makes his counsel shine. We sang, each opening leaf and every stroke fulfill some deep design. That's the P, my friends. Providence of God and this perfection of God. As for God, his way is perfect. Yes, you've got these troubles, 6, 7, maybe double figures. But this, you see, God is in these troubles to, in the sense, allowing these troubles in your life that you may lay before him your case. Lay before him these matters. Lord, I've got all these troubles. I don't know how to cope with them. Or, Lord, I've got this one big matter. I can't deal with it myself. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That's what you need, poor soul. The hymn writer knew it. We don't know who wrote that blessed hymn, 329. But this, friends, you see, those troubles that come in waves, are those troubles that go over our head. We're like those, aren't we? In Psalm 107, and we read it, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And so on and so forth. We read, then they cried unto the Lord as their heart was brought down with labour in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. 4 times. Yes, the sick men, the seamen, the captives, the travellers. And that's what we all are in faith, friends. And we need to be delivered. But he will. He shall deliver thee. Oh, it's impossible. This matter, this trouble, I see it as utterly impossible. My friends, may you prove yet that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. May you see the work of God in delivering you. Friends, we will know deliverance. When thou canst know deliverance see, you will still find this man, thy peace shall be, and then the day of deliverance will come. You know, the Lord's people will be delivered out of all of their troubles. They must be, because the work of salvation is complete. And when they enter into heaven, all their troubles will be gone. Even if they die, friends, with still some troubles, as my one put it, naturally upon the earth. Yet they must be gone then. But oh, if you've come up with a particular trouble tonight, friends, be encouraged in the word of God that he knows your trouble. He's aware what's troubling you. And it's a mercy that you have that trouble. It's a favour of God that it's upon you. Why? Because he will cause you to cry unto him. That you will prove this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, 6, 7, or however many. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all these troubles. You see, we've got to be poor men and poor women and poor children. That's poverty in our own ability to resolve these troubles. Grace and providence working together. I read of Eli Ashdown, who was pastor at Great Ailey Street in London, died in 1903, 1904, that sort of era at time. But in 1870, he had a sick wife, very poorly. He had troubles in business, real troubles. He had burdens in his soul, friends, and there's nothing like soul trouble, is there? Those that have known something of it. And we know it to continue, friends. It's a continuing thing. It's not like those light believers. I love the Lord and the Lord loves me and all is well and I go carrying on. My friends, it's not. Religion is up and down, isn't it? It's soul trouble, soul burdens. And then he'd got the burden of the ministry as well. Well, you might say that's four, that's not 6 or 7. Friends, that's only the ones that he's mentioned. No doubt there were others that he hadn't enumerated. But it doesn't matter. It's not a case of how many troubles we've got. It's a case of the sanctification, the setting apart, as I said earlier, for the good of the soul. But with this dear man, so weighed down. Oh, friends, troubled and burdened. But you see, he felt as he walked down the street one day, burdened with all this, Lord, how can I go on? What can I do? What can I do? Sweet to lie passive in his hands, to know no will but thine. Oh, how that cup that came in and strengthened him. And then this, how harsh soe'er the way, dear Saviour, still lead on, nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. Can you say it in the trouble you're in tonight, friends? Father, thy will be done in this matter. Thy will be done regarding my soul in this matter. At most, we do but taste the cup, for thou alone hast drunk it up. Yes, and that dear man was strengthened, you see. His troubles were all there. The burdens were all still there. But the word of his grace to help us to carry on, to take the next step. You see, the next step in that journey of faith, how we need that strengthening grace. Friends, these troubles. You know, Paul writes, if I can find it, to the church in Corinth, and he speaks of being troubled. This is it. We are troubled on every side. I wonder if you've known this pathway. Troubled on the left-hand side, troubled on the right-hand side, troubled in front of you, troubled behind you. You know, friends, the children of Israel were troubled all round, weren't they? You've got the sea in front of you, and they've got the mountains on each side, and they've got the Egyptians against them coming behind them. Troubled on every side. And they had to step forward. My friends, there's a word for you tonight in this. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward in your troubles. Press on, dear friends. Press on towards the mark and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's laid that way down. Look unto me, he says, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. You see, in our troubles, we start looking down. But we need to be looking up. We need to be looking to the Lord. We need to be laying them before him and leaving them with him, friends, to deal with them, to manage them. To manage them all by the way and to the end. We don't do it. We don't do it enough. And poor troubled soul tonight, I would that you could do this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You won't be if you're unable to do what I'm just saying. And we are perplexed. Ah, what did I talk about? Puzzled. There's another P word for us. Job was puzzled, but not when he saw the providence of God in it all, for his never dying soul, that these afflictions brought upon him were that he should see the blessing of God in his soul. And so it is, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted. Now that's interesting, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But interesting is the word persecuted. I don't know if you know this, but the Hebrew of the word Job, his name means persecuted. We know a little of it, even if it's the persecutions of the enemy. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Poor troubled soul, I would exhort you to come to the dear Lord Jesus, who alone is able to help you in your time of great need. Oh, those times of need that come upon us. You see, Jeremiah says this, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." He doesn't finish there, though, does he? "But he shall be saved out of it." Oh, friends, to have that faith to believe it, it's even the time. That day is great. It's severe. It's hard. It's tough. There's none like it. Yes, the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. How beautiful is that word? He shall be. Yes. Oh, let us come back to the text. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. It may be there are so many things in your life. But I tell you this, friends, your troubles, another thing, we concentrate on those. You know, this hymn comes to mind. You'll know the hymn. It's not in our book, and it's quite a lively one, but it's a good one. "Count your many blessings." Ah, you see, we count our troubles. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done." Now, you might say, "Well, I'm not so keen on those hymns." My dear friends, there's real truth in that hymn. To be able to count our blessings, to be able to enumerate what the Lord has done, and it helps us then to see that the favours and the blessings of God outweigh those troubles. And indeed, how often he has turned troubles in the past into blessings, into favours, and our poor souls have had to see the wonders God alone could do. You know, I was thinking of the first pastor that I ever sat under the ministry when I was a young man, Mr. Bradford at Matfield Chapel. And you will read in his book, which I really commend to the young people, you know, but because it's so simply written regarding the providential and spiritual exercises in his experience. But when he was in his early 30s, he was invalided out of the Navy, because of his eyesight. Incredibly so, really, because before the First World War, he'd got the top-level eyesight that you could have. But so it was in the providence of God that he was invalided out. He had a young child. He had trouble in his soul. He was exercised about the ministry, and he felt to be a lonely man. All this trouble. Many troubles. And they do, don't they? All come in at once sometimes. And you know, he came home one day and he sat on the bed and he wept. And his wife said, "Oh, what is it? Is it because you're looking for work? Is it because of this? Is it because of that?" And she named all these things. And he just blurted out, "No, it's my soul. It's my soul." You know, there may be a poor soul that's exercised about where they stand before God, or they have the burden of sin upon them. These things are deep. There's a deep pathway. And we walk on and we wait. We want the Lord to appear, or perhaps as one that the Lord did appear and they need him to come again. Well, of course, we each do if we're rightly exercised. But they particularly feel that. You know, friends, it's a deep path. It's a time of trouble. It's a time of trouble. Where there's prayer, where there's exercise, where there's desire before the Lord, he will bring them out. Dear Mr. Bradford, you know, one day he said, I was wandering the streets of London, went into a Lion's Tea Cafe as it was in that day. He said, I sat down, ordered a drink, and he said, I had a pocket Bible with me. And he said, and the word came into his mind, persuasion in our mind of the spirit, different to those persuasions we spoke of earlier of the old devil, the enemy. Well, you see, that persuasion searched the scriptures. He said, I opened up the word of God. It opened up on Romans, that wonderful chapter, Romans 8. And his eyes went straight to the last two verses and they were blessed to his soul. I am persuaded. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, the man was blessed. And the blessing of God, you know, we still have our trouble often. We still got the providential troubles quite often, but when the Lord blesses us in that way, you know, they fade. And then we find the Lord deals with them quite often. Remarkable, isn't it? How he was favoured under that. But tonight, friends, you're six, you're seven, and I don't mind how many troubles they are. They won't separate you from the love of Christ. The enemy will tell you, look at this trouble. Look at this that's come upon you. You're not a right believer because of these things. And you will be puzzled, to use that word that we used earlier. You will be bewildered. But oh, that the Lord would come in and show you this, even that you might hear to profit this night, to feel this. Nothing shall separate us. These troubles, they're for the blessing of our souls. These troubles are for the good of our life too, because the Lord, it's all our life is hid with Christ in God, our spiritual life and our natural life. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Well, what's this then? Yea, in seven, we've talked about the seven, but no evil touch thee. Oh, my friends, it cannot touch and damage the soul with any permanent damage to the soul. Yes, fear not him who is able to hurt the body, but he that can destroy the soul. That's who the Lord Jesus exhorted his disciples to fear. He says this, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why not? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Yes, this God who is able to do exceedingly above, far more exceedingly above all we can ask or even think. Oh, I wonder where you are. But I know this, there are souls in trouble, and I believe you will prove that no evil shall touch thee. We are Joseph. No evil shall touch thee. Ye thought it for evil. You and I think it for evil, the things that are contrary in our pathway. There's dear Joseph. He says to his brethren, ye thought it for evil, but God meant it unto good. Friends, you'll bless him, you'll praise him, you'll come with those notes of thanksgiving like that one leper we spoke of this morning. When you can see this, God meant it unto good. What, this deep pathway, this deep trouble, God meant it unto good. Ye thought it for evil. Ye thought that it was for bad things, that it would end you in a terrible situation. God means it unto good. Oh, that you and my heart would be softened. Friends, I sat there one Sunday morning on my 39th birthday, job working for the bank coming to an end, redundancy staring me in the face, a very difficult boss in my last few days. My soul was turned upside down in the things of my exercises towards the Lord. Trouble in the family. Trouble at work then. Trouble in my soul. Trouble in my exercises even back then regarding the ministry. Trouble. Trouble, trouble. Friends, I even said to my dear one before the chapel that day, I don't believe I can go today. God is against me. All these things are against me. You walked it, friends. Trouble on every hand. It's a bitter pathway. It's not an easy place to be in. I'm going to tell you this, you might feel it, you'll be ashamed of this, minister. I said, I believe I have hatred towards God in my heart. Solemn thought. Well, we went to the service, my dear friends. I've only once, and it was that occasion, sat in chapel, and everything, the first hymn, there was something in the reading. There was something in the prayer, the sermon, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. My friends, the Lord cleared it all up in the day. I came home and I wept in front of my dear one at lunchtime and said this, I love the Lord because he have heard the voice of my, heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord. My friends, trouble. Trouble was still there. I didn't know the future in so many things. But oh, to prove these things, the Lord coming in. Yes, we fear to talk of ourselves, but perhaps it's helpful for those to know the Lord, the way the Lord brings us. Yes, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. Why? Because he have set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Lovely, isn't it, that Psalm 91? Oh, friends, trouble. Yes, when trouble, like a gloomy cloud, has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. May you, may I prove it. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening in the vestry at chapel. On Friday evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach and address the Sunday school. The Oakington Christmas service is on Saturday, and we hope to observe the Lord's Supper shortly after this service. Our closing hymn is number 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Hymn 958.
Close with God.
do bless thine own word, we do pray. Take those home that leave now in peace and safety, and do remember us each for good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.